meet after class to do a follow-up on the tree trimming issue that we need to vote on to do some doctoring on our trees on the property. So. All right, let's see if it works. All right, we're in verse 4. Verse 4 is the occasion for this letter. This is the reason he was sidetracked in the providence of God to write this letter. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Whoa. Certain is the indefinite pronoun tis. Persons is the Greek word for man, anthropos. The word crept in unnoticed is an aorist indicative, par eis duo. This means to slip in or to sneak in to something. Clandestine. It's only found here in the New Testament. It is found outside in the Greek literature, of course, in a Greek dictionary. But in the New Testament, here alone. He said, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. So there's a subject, these types, these particular types, were the subject of Old Testament prophecy and the book of Enoch. We have a perfect passive participle with a definite article, prographo, means to write beforehand, previously. Translate here, marked out, found four times in the New Testament as per those citations. Long ago is an adverb, palai, long ago, for this judgment. This is the pronoun houtos. The Greek noun for judgment is krima. So this is the ungodly persons further defining their apostasy or their corruption. Ungodly is asebes. It means irreverent, ungodly. Persons who turn, metathemi, present participle. Metathemi means to transfer something, transplant something, change something, alter something. And so change is fine here. The grace, definite article, charis, the grace of our God into to licentiousness. This word, asogaia, means sexual indulgence, licentiousness. This noun is found 10 times in the New Testament. All right, we're not through with them. And deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And deny our neomai, present participle, to deny something. Our only is monos, as he's the only one. Only Master. Accusative masculine singular, despotes, we get despot from it. Master or owner. Our only Master and Lord, Kyrios, Jesus Christ, one. Here is the peril that caused Jude to rush off this unexpected letter. Two, he heard of certain persons who had crept in unawares. God provides spiritual leadership that's doing its job with insights. He gives them a head up. You don't even have to do any investigation, running around looking for stuff. It just comes to you. God gets it to authority and gets the information they need. Whether it is a good parent and some child is up to something, they get busted. They get exposed. God provides leaders with what they need to know in this case. The rare verb means to smuggle in. And here it means to enter the fellowship of positive volition surreptitiously, done by stealth. That big word. Diogenes Laertius used it of a secret return to a country, slipping back in. Plutarch of the insidious decline of good laws. Well, he ought to be in our country. The insidious decline of good laws and the stealthy substitution of inferior ones. Some of these pagans had norms and standards. They couldn't have survived if they did. They couldn't have built an empire if they were all just corrupt as they could possibly be. Just an aside. It denotes a sinister and secretive activity. Not straight up front type where how decent people operate. It is similar to paraisago, to bring in under false pretenses. That's what they did with the Galatians, as it used in Galatians 2:4 with the Judaizers. And also, we'll have a lot of references to in this study to Second Peter 2 verse 1. Peter had another audience. We know who Peter's audience and the geography of where they existed, but anyway. He says, but false prophets also arose among the people. False prophets, Old Testament times, you had the true prophets of God and a bunch of unscrupulous Jewish prophets that rose up that were called false prophets. This is a very serious crime to claim to be speaking in the name of God and be a false teacher or prophet. It's up there high on the list of really bad things people do. It was so bad in Old Testament times that if someone was convicted of being a false prophet, they stoned him to death because you're misleading the people. It is a high crime. It is a high crime to mislead people. I mean intentionally mislead people. We might be wrong about something that we have to correct. That's different. Just as there will be also false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And they have the same kind of take. Many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. Also, and he also adds to the fact that they're trying to get into your pocketbook. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. They're going to get it. Now, of course, historically, as time went through, these people have died like everyone else, one way or another. But the build-up here, getting a little ahead of myself, the build-up here is for the final eradication from the face of the earth of all these types. And that, of course, is reserved for the day of the Lord when the Lord will remove all apostates, sinners of that caliber from the earth. The human race will not have to be affected by them. Such an incursion Second Peter had the same deceitful activity involved. So that's one of the things they do. They're not straight up. They're not straightforward. They sneak around. They see for little open doors. They test people out. In order to do this, they have to pretend like they're one of us or that they like this. That's what they have to pretend to do. But in reality, they don't. Of course. Such an incursion of ungodly persons is wrong, for no other reason, just because it was clandestine. You know, I think of this, a group that exists on the earth today and have been around a long time. It's the Jesuits. They're perfect in this department. For them, they're Catholics. It's called the Society of Jesus. It's a society of males. I believe it's all males. Jesuits. And so they infiltrated the Protestant organizations early on. See, once they couldn't get rid of the Bible believers, and they couldn't get rid of the Protestants by slaughtering them, and they couldn't burn all their Bibles because a printing press came into existence, and everybody was getting a Bible, so they had to change their tactics. Not that they wouldn't use assassinations and other things to advance their cause. They began to send their agents out and infiltrate organizations. That means that you have to get into the organization and pretend, adopt their views, espouse their views, their causes, get involved, and then when the time comes, you can be used to subvert the place. That's a tactic that's used by the devil's crowd. Infiltration. And posing to be for them and all this business. You say, well, how can I protect myself? Well, I'll do everything I can here to protect you. God will bless me. And you just offer up the prayer all the time. Deliver me from evil. I don't care who it comes from. Sometimes it comes from believers who flip, who were positive. I've had it. But you know, they tip their hand. And I'm not, and this is the truth, I am not a judgmental type. But if I see strange behavior suddenly on the part of a person consistently, then something's going wrong there. I've seen it in deacons in the past. They're not cooperative. There's a difference, different attitude. And sure enough, boom. They worked on church members outside. That's on their head. Somebody said, that guy never talked to me in the past. Invited me out for coffee. Not usual behavior. Well, maybe they decided, I'm going to treat this guy right. But no, it was to feel him out. What do you think about somebody that does that? Can they be positive and do that? Putting this believer on the spot over a cup of coffee. This believer, and of course, this is an authority figure for him. So he goes, yes, you can be positive and do something bad. At least that's what I've read in the Bible. So it's a game that they're playing. You can't, if you're this type of a person, eventually you're going to get busted. Your mouth's going to open up and you're going to display what's in your soul. You just can't keep it in there. You just can't stay shut up. You can walk around and praise the organization, and, oh, this is good, blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm not trying to make any of you paranoid here. There's no reason to be paranoid. God, one of my favorite sayings is, it's not out of the Bible. Time heals all wounds, and wounds all heals. Not funny? Why not? That's funny. It does. It absolutely will expose those that are not of us. We've already studied this in John. John's real hardcore about this. We think John, loving, kind John, blah, blah, blah. They went out from us because they were not of us. Well, yesterday they were of us. But then they proved themselves not to be of us. So what is that? We're all on trial and the jury's still out on every one of us in here. Are we of us or not? In the Galatian heresy, Galatia, these churches that Paul founded, and he had to write this corrective to get them out of the wrong approach to salvation even. Now, here's the hook. Oh, we believe Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior and died for the sins of the world. Okay, so I'll let my guard down. You're okay. No, it's not going to work that way. But you have to be circumcised, you Gentile males. You have to be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. So they borrow from apostate Judaism, bring this over, mesh it up with Orthodox Christianity, and tried and got the Galatians back on their heels. The Galatians didn't completely capitulate to them, but they were bewitched. They cast a spell over them. Again, you've got to have certain people with charismatic personalities. They appear to care about you. That's what all these deviants do out here. When they patrol these malls looking for young girls, promising them a career in modeling or something. See, this is how these people operate. They operate undercover. They're actors. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. The bondage of legalism. To undermine even the salvation adjustment and the way it's supposed to be. Anybody who adds anything to faith in Jesus Christ for salvation is preaching another gospel. And Paul does not say nice things about them. It's another gospel. Salvation by faith, plus you got to be baptized. No, you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. You have to be baptized to fulfill righteousness and a ritual command that you have like any other command you fulfill. So there's all this mess out there. And, we're protected in one sense. You got a pastor, teacher. They will not tolerate any of it. No return to fundiism. I'm not going back there. Give me the best version of it you can find and the best example of it you can find. And it isn't good enough for me. I'm not putting my money down on that product. It's between them and God. I don't have to even deal with them. They should at least be at the same level we are with regard to these basic doctrines. They should have an understanding of the nature of the STA. Really understand it. Not fundiize it, sugarcoat it, but look at it like Paul taught it. There's nothing good that dwells in me. I don't always do the things I should do. I bet you they don't admit to that up in front in the pulpit. We all grow in these doctrines to an understanding and depth in them. We get the first stuff and we begin to understand it. And we go further with it. So here in Galatians 2, second other situation. They had upset the Galatians. And I've got to start all over again, Paul says. It's like a woman who has a miscarriage but wants a child. All that doctrine is miscarried, and now I am in labor to get you, mixes these all up, to get you back where you need to be. It's sad, but that's what they did, and that's the nature of it. These churches were sitting out there before they had established pastor teachers, dependent on the Apostle Paul and his team. And the simplest thing is, here's how easy it is, folks. Who are you guys coming in here? Who walked you in here to start telling us the way it is? Get the hell out of my face. I have nothing. You have nothing. I've got Paul. And when Paul was there and he walked into our village, he was accompanied by miracles and signs and evidences and gave us the gospel and everything we need. We don't need you. Leave us. You creeps. I wouldn't have any time with them. You know, I'm that way. You got to have your armor on, people. When someone comes to you, if that happens to you, anybody, you could get a phone call. Well, how are you today? I just wanted to talk. We haven't had contact in some time. Bam! They won't be bothering me. Not in a million years. I don't have time to talk to you. So I have your guard up. Satan knows, I don't know what all he knows, but if he sees you're weak, one of these types can zero in on you at your weak moment. Yeah, but. No time for it. This is like in a warfare. We do everything to protect what we're doing and advance our cause, and we're not going to listen to this stuff. No propaganda. No people. These people call up here and want to speak in my church over my dead body. There's going to be no way. You wouldn't stand for it. I wouldn't stand for it. But they think like that. They think we're happy Christians. What's your church all about? Oh, praise God. Pathetic. It's so sick. You can't praise God on this score because you don't even know what you don't know up from down. So no, you're not welcome here. So that's how I protect my flock from the wolves out there, the predators, who some of them run around in sheep's clothing. That's your disguise. You couldn't just walk into these people and walk in and say, I don't think Jesus is the Son of God, and I don't think... No, that'd spook them so bad the sheep would go running the other direction. But they play a game. It's those of us who do not play a game. It's hard for us to identify with those who play a game. But they're out there. And we have to be on our guard in the last days. And I always keep praying, deliver our church from evil, whether it's from the outside or the inside. Deliver us. And 2 Timothy 3:6, there was one other one of those. Here's a description, ladies and gentlemen, of the way it is on the earth. Of course, it's been this way all through, but the difference is today, there's a couple differences than Paul's day and our day. A lot more people and technology. Facebook, God phone, all the stuff that you can access out there, or they're trying to access you. This is, and of course, we are so thick into it, it's not even funny. This Bible does not give a rosy glow of human history and the flow of it until Christ sets up his kingdom. But realize this, I read verse 1, that in the last days difficult times will come, sometimes called perilous. For men will be lovers of self. We don't see much of that, do we? Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedience to parents. I see a lot of that too, parents and the way kids act up. Ungrateful. People just are not thankful. Unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of... There you go. That's where it's at. They got the religious side, don't they? They go to church on Easter, Christmas, jump through all the little hoops. They have a form of godliness. And they go to their big fancy church with stained glass windows and a monster organ and choir and a guy in investments and all this business. And there are all these things in these verses. They don't have a pastor up there addressing STA activity. Because if they did, he'd be gone. People who attend there, well, their daughter's gay, and this and that, and, oh, so-and-so's living together. This is commonplace out there. It wasn't back in my day, or it was frowned upon, let's put it that way. It was frowned upon. My parents had expressions for it. They weren't even believers, but they were non-believers, but they had expressions for this stuff. Oh, they're shacking up. Now we have sitcoms where they're all happy and good-looking couples and blah, 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 blah. This is A-OK. And other things of this nature. The moral fabric of this country is shredded. Shredded. Not just in the sexual, in that department, but in all these others as well. No, none of these pastors are going to get up there and So what do they do? Even if they think it's wrong, they don't hammer it. They soft pedal. They just don't discuss it. I know I got people out here doing that, but that's what I got to do, is keep people on board, and we'll rationalize it and say, otherwise I can't reach them. Oh yeah, reach what? You're supposed to reach people with the truth, and they're supposed to adjust their lives accordingly. If they're into something that's wrong, then they're supposed to be pointed out to them so they can make the corrections and get it right with God. Instead of mocking him by not following, in this case, the divine institution, number two, marriage. The first couple that ever got married, he united them in the garden. Adam and Eve, stark raving naked, standing there in front of Yahweh, and he united them as man and wife. And that's the pattern. It's not difficult. And everything else is some deviation off of it. And all those sins are forgivable, obviously. Christ died for them. But the fact is, this is not what is heralded today as important. I see one of these people that ran for a Democratic, it's a woman, it was on the deal before we get this thing we got now, shoved in front of our face. And she is pro-LGBT. She's out in front of the parade waving, and all this freak show's behind her. And she wanted to be president. Your name's Warren or something. Dizzy Warren or something. Yeah. And they just don't care. And then she's in an interview with a mother with a little boy that wants to be the mother wants him to be a girl or whatever, and she's clapping. It's child abuse. Right in your face. And wanting to do operations to change him at that young age. Are you insane? And what doctor does that? The one is a lover of money. We never thought it would get this bad. It is. And you think I'm strong up here on it? I haven't even come close to how bad it is. So our Lord, it says about the tribulation, I'm going to teach the nations righteousness. And this is not going to be a fun school where everybody's hugging each other. I'm going to teach the nations righteousness. We're anti all the divine institutions now, pretty much. And so many, and there's a lot of people that don't like it, and I understand that they're out there. They don't like free will, freedom. They don't want you to have freedom. They want to curtail all that and control you like an animal. Then there's the marriage one, and then there is family. Divine institution number three, that's for the whole human race. And then the fourth one, it came on later, is nationalism. And of course, the elite want to get rid of nations and put us under all one big, awful tyranny. And that's been going along for a long time. So Satan wants to overthrow all the divine institutions. They're all under attack. But you know that even in the eternal state, we'll have nations. He won't win. It's going to look like he is. And it's going to get real close to that critical juncture. And God always steps in. I feel for these people. But they can avail the same truth you found in time. You're not any better than they are. They can find the truth. Anybody listening out here on this, you need to pay attention. All this stuff that mentioned here in this passage about what people are is out there in spades today. People are not kind. People are not. There are exceptions, obviously. But there are a lot of these people are just like what is described here. Without natural affection. normal human manners. It's me, me, me. Well, you owe me something. It's really an indictment. From among them are those who enter into households. Now, today, then, you had to enter a household physically. I suppose you could send a letter, but you had to enter a household physically. Now you can do it through a 50-inch television. And captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. Always learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Break that one down. The elite understood how we needed to control a population of people up here. I got things I could read to you. Where it's actually articulated. That through the, well, first it was radio, then television, how we can overthrow in the minds of people and place in the place of them the things we want them to think. So how do they do this? With some hardcore propaganda? No, that doesn't work. You got to have a TV series program. Something. And chip away at it. Chip away. We know that they'd be offended by this if we just threw that in their face. So we will gradually bring it in little by little by little. And now we have commercials with two guys sitting on a couch kissing or whatever to sell some product. I haven't seen that one. I don't want to see it. Such an infiltration is always more serious when the danger comes from within. Operation Trojan Horse. I don't know. It was one of the top Roman guys. He said, "You know, the greatest enemies aren't those that fly their flags and we see them out there lined up militarily. That's not the ones that are the big danger. It's the ones that are in our own midst that rise up within among us." So that's always been known, you know, the Trojan horse effect, or the people who sneak in and today they can be bribed, politicians bribed, they'll take money under the table, or blackmailed, "We saw you with an underage, blah, 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 we got it on film, sir." That's how they work. Well, Jesus warned against those who would masquerade as sheep, but were in fact wolves in sheep's clothing, Matthew 7:15. The apostles again and again warned against such types. We're in a warfare. They're not going to just leave us alone. They're not happy unless they can corrupt us. Well, here at Maranatha, aside from people who rose up and worked on people and, "Well, what do you think, Jack? What do you think? Blah, 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 blah." They start that crap on you, just walk off. Don't listen. They're trying to do you in, and they may not know it, but they are. If you should have to face anything like that. So through there we have those examples of false teachers infiltrating. There will always be those who will be a menace to the sheep. John 10. And this is the passage I was told by someone who once was a deacon. It's back. You need to reconsider that chapter. I didn't say what I wanted to say. I didn't say much. But it was obvious to me that you'd already cast it aside in your own soul. And I think this particular person was infiltrated by another deacon who had spent too much time listening to Christian radio and getting hooked on that mess. I figured that out later. They were giving bad advice to my sheep. One believer came to me and said, I was under a lot of economic stress, and I got a big fat offer from a big fat from the to work in Dallas, move me and my family down there, lock, stock, and barrel, as a real nice income, and I'm up here working at menial work trying to survive, and I went to this deacon for encouragement, head deacon, I went to him for encouragement, and he told me the exact opposite. It was like I was hitting the solar plexus. That's what they did. It's on their heads. And they've never repented of this crap. Another one told me the same thing. You need to do what's best for your family. Well, how about stay in Bible class? And keep your family in Bible class. And not drag them all down. If they go by the wayside down the road on their own, that's different. You keep it. So this is a credit to all you who have made sacrifices in the monetary and materialistic realm, where you could have maybe made more money, had this, all the rest of it. And you stuck with doctrine. Because you know where the real gold is. It's better to get wisdom than it is to get gold. It's all through Proverbs. Okay, gang. I'll see you Tuesday night. Same place. Usual time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May we keep our guard up in these last days, knowing that our enemy is strong. In Christ's name, amen.